Good morning. Welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. In this first hour of the show today, we will be talking about hearing loss, what causes it, and the kind of help that's available for people who are experiencing hearing loss. One of the things that we know is that this is a problem for significant numbers of Americans, and not just older folks. It is also a problem that seems to be pretty significantly underdiagnosed and undertreated. So we'll try to talk about all of that this morning in this hour with Melissa Rodriguez. She is somebody who grew up around the hearing aid business. Shortly after she graduated from high school, she obtained her license to fit hearing aids and received her national board certification in 1995. Currently, she is the owner of Hear on Earth Hearing Care Center. That's located in El Paso, Texas. She sat on the board of the Texas Hearing Aid Association, also served a six-year term on the Texas Governing Board. That's the board that regulates the fitting and dispensing of hearing aids. And she's also the author of a book that I think could be very helpful for people who are experiencing hearing problems, or maybe there is someone very close to them in their life that is. The title of the book is Hear Your Life, Inspiring Stories and Honest Advice for Overcoming Hearing Loss. And it's published by Greenleaf Book Group Press. It's a little paperback, not terribly expensive, and answers a lot of the basic questions that I'm sure that people would have. So you can take a look at that. But here this morning on the program, you can take advantage of her experience. If you have questions about hearing issues, you can give us a call here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Go to anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. We also have email, and you can send a question along that way by writing to us, and the address is will-talk. At illinois.edu. At any point here, questions are certainly welcome. And Melissa Rodriguez, hello.
Yes, hi, David.
Thanks very much for talking with us today.
You bet. I'm so happy to be here and have this conversation about hearing.
Well, I think it's a good thing for us to be talking about. I know that May, we just missed it, was Better Hearing Month, so better a little bit late than ever to be talking
about the topic. Absolutely.
And it's my understanding that you you come by your interest and experience here, honestly, because your dad was in this business, and apparently you saw what he was doing, and you just thought, well, that looks like a good thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you see, I call it the hearing smile on people's faces that come in kind of gloomy, and they start hearing, and they just light up. It was very infectious for me, and I've never been able to get away from it.
Yeah. Well, here, let's talk some numbers just to start out with. So how many Americans suffer from hearing loss?
That number is estimated between 28 and 32 million Americans.
All right. And then, so that's a significant number, between 28 and 32 million. And how many of those people have been diagnosed or have seen a doctor or anybody to talk about their problem?
About less than 25% have had any significant testing.
Okay.
We have some of the numbers from screenings, but yeah.
So
less than
fewer 25%. Than a quarter. So we've got, like, in round figures, 30 million people, and fewer than a quarter of them have gone to see if there's something that can be done. So their question is, then why is it that that this other 75% of these 30 million people are not getting help?
Well, that's a great question, David. If we could figure that out for sure, we'd be able to fix a lot of these problems. But I think a lot of it is hearing loss is so invisible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody knows. You might see the signs of hearing loss, but when somebody looks at you, you don't look disabled. You don't look like anything's wrong. And so it's a really easy disability to hide. And it's also, it happens so gradually. It comes on just so very slightly year after year that you may forget things that you used to be able to hear. And you're just not aware that, wow, I should be hearing more than this.
Mm.
So I think those two things in combination prevent people from seeking help. And, you know, something's wrong and they're like, well, maybe I'll do something about it later or next week. You know, and it gets put off.
Well, that certainly would have been my guess, is that while I'm sure that there are things that maybe can cause abrupt changes in your hearing, that it is probably more likely that if there's a deterioration, it happens slowly over time, and that I'm sure that there are many people who will tell stories about family members, could be a parent, could be a spouse, whatever, that are having hearing problems and don't seem to notice, and
right.
or they don't seem to, and so then for the other family member, you're thinking, now does my husband, my wife, my dad, my mom, whatever it is, do they actually not know, or are they, do they know that they have a problem and for some reason are ignoring it, or saying, well, I can't deal with this right now, and maybe some other day?
Yeah, a lot of times it's that, and often for the person with hearing loss, it's almost always a spouse or a loved one who will notice it before they notice it personally. So that's a good thing. If somebody else is noticing, you know, just go and get your hearing tested. It's one of those impossible things for you to know yourself. That's why we have clinical tests, so we can actually measure your hearing acuity. But if, you know, imagine if you were walking through and there was birds chirping and you didn't hear them, you would have no way to know that you were missing them. So it's just really, that's why it's so underdiagnosed. It's easy to ignore and easy to not know it's there. But that hearing loss is depriving you and stealing so many precious moments away from you that you don't even know you should have had.
So it is true for people who perhaps are experiencing some frustration because someone who is close to them in their life seems not to be hearing as well as they once did, that it is probably true that that person doesn't really notice it, and they're not doing that just to annoy you. In fact, that they could indeed not really know how much their hearing has deteriorated.
Absolutely. Most of the time, by the time a person says, wow, I'm having some trouble hearing, that's almost always about 7 to 12 years into a hearing loss and what would be measured at like a moderate hearing loss by the time you notice it yourself.
What kind of symptoms would you be looking for that would say that someone had a significant problem?
The first thing, you mean personally, like if what can they watch for on themselves?
Well, I guess either way.
Okay, so for yourself, if you notice, first of all, it's going to usually first start happening in noise. You know, you're in a noisy environment. It's more difficult for all of us to hear in a noisy environment. But if you look around the table you're at and everyone else is laughing at the joke and you're laughing but you don't know what the punchline was, if you find yourself really leaning forward and straining to hear, if you're tired at the end of the day, those are things that you might start saying, you know, maybe this is not normal. Also, if you ask somebody to repeat, you know, and people will complain, well, you know, they're mumbling or they're walking away from me when they talk. It's normal to ask on average 3 to 4 times a week to have something repeated. So if you find that that's 3 or 4 times a day, and it's not just the one person, it's 3 or 4 different people that you're having to have repeat, that probably isn't their problem anymore. It's probably not their mumbling. It's probably your hearing. As far as when you're looking at a loved one, you know, if you're watching your spouse or one of your parents or one of your children, and the TV is up really loud, or, you know, they seem to kind of lean forward or squint when you talk to them, or if you're behind them and you ask a question and they just don't even reply. Those are things that are going to signal a loved one that hearing loss is taking place.
Yeah. Well, there, I guess I do wonder for myself or for everybody else, just to what extent part of the problem is that there's a lot of noise in the environment, and over time that gets to be a problem. You know, in our house, the classic thing is somebody's in the living room and somebody's in the kitchen and the water's running and the radio's on and somebody is talking to somebody else and they have to say what?
Right.
You know right. That they're talking to you, but and you might be able to pick out a word here and there, but I do sometimes wonder, okay, is this me? Is this my hearing, or is it partly that, well, there's a lot of noise here that's getting in the way of my being able to hear what my spouse is saying to me.
Right. So, like in that situation, David, if you notice, man, every time I'm in the kitchen and the microwave's on, I'm struggling, start paying attention. You know, are you struggling at the dinner table? Did you struggle when you were maybe in the bathroom and your wife was putting on her makeup and she said something to you? You know, if you notice yourself, if it's really isolated to that one room, it could definitely be the acoustics. But if you can start kind of just taking little notes for yourself and going, wow, this is happening more than one place with more than one person, it's recommended that you have a hearing test every year. Unfortunately, right now, less than 4% of doctors screen for hearing loss on an annual physical. So that's just something that's getting missed. So everyone should plan to have that hearing tested every year because you don't know.
At what age would you recommend that starts?
That is all ages.
Yeah, really. So everyone should have their hearing tested, at least as what an audiologist would tell you, that every year everyone should
every
have
year.
Their test.
Absolutely.
All right. Someone here, I'm getting a question offline here. The question is there a difference in hearing loss between married versus single men? I'm not sure that that's a completely serious question.
Well, there is. This is actually kind of interesting. There is what we call the wedding cake syndrome, that once a man eats wedding cake, he can't hear his wife's voice anymore. That is, you know, a big joke. But what happens is who we're most familiar with, we choose to either listen to them or ignore them. There's a part of our brain called the reticular activating system, and that is, you can think of it kind of like a cheesecloth, and as all the sound comes into the brain, because although the sound is transmitted through our ears, we actually hear in our brain. So as the sound gets into our brain, that reticular activating system decides whether it gets let in or whether it gets held out. So for instance, if you live by a train tracks, the first couple days you live there, you will hear the train go by every single time. It'll wake you up at night. But given long term, you won't even notice that train anymore, because that is your RAS, your reticular activating system, telling your brain, oh, yeah, he's not interested in hearing that. We're cutting it out. So at the same time, in, say, a relationship, husband and wife, the husband, in my theory, is husbands, they know we love them, they know their wives love them, and they have that kind of security in, whatever, she'll make me hear it. But after years of that, the RAS believes that that's not a signal you want to be notified of. Combine that with hearing loss, you know, and now oftentimes I see it with men who've recently retired, and now they're making their life more around their wife, you know, their careers past, their children are grown, and now this person is very important to them, but a whole lifetime of training is sort of messing the situation up. So there are sometimes ways that we can actually retrain our brain to listen. And, of course, we're going to hear, if our hearing is healthy or if we're aided, we are going to hear what's important to us. So sometimes we just have to let our brain know what that is.
Our guest in this hour of focus is Melissa Rodriguez. She is the owner of Hear on Earth Hearing Care Center. That's in El Paso, Texas, and she is board certified to fit hearing aids. She is in this business, has been for quite a long time, got into the business because her father was in the business of dispensing and fitting hearing aids. And so we're talking here about the issue of hearing loss and how that may be addressed. We have a couple of callers here. We're ready to go. And also, I do want to mention again, one source, if you're interested in some more information and something that would answer some of the basic questions about hearing, hearing loss, hearing testing, and so forth, you might look at a book that she's authored. The title of her book is Hear Your Life, and it is published by Greenleaf Book Group Press. Questions are welcome. We have a couple here ready to go. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Email as well, will-talk@illinois.edu. Here is someone in Belgium to start us off. Line one. Hello.
What was that?
Yeah. Very funny.
Yeah. I'm sure I've got some hearing loss, but my ears ring. They ring so loud they keep my wife awake at night. I mean, is there any way to solve that problem?
It sounds like what you have is tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
Often tinnitus goes hand in hand with hearing loss. If you have hearing loss, wearing hearing aids or a combination of a hearing aid and a tinnitus masker will help that tinnitus be unnoticeable.
What is a tinnitus masker?
A tinnitus masker, it looks like a hearing aid.
Oh.
We actually are trying to cancel out the noise that your brain is perceiving by sending in an alternate noise. So we're kind of keeping the brain too busy to notice the tinnitus.
Oh, so the tinnitus is still there, just hear something else.
Correct. Now, with sensory neural hearing loss, if you have especially a high-frequency hearing loss, a lot of times a noise-induced hearing loss, where you may be in the military, did you have a lot of artillery?
No, I actually work in an industry where there's lots of noise.
Okay, so we probably are looking at a noise-induced hearing loss, which typically will be high-frequency. What's happening is the nerves in your inner ear, in the cochlea, they're little hair cells, if they're working normally, they are standing up, they're like little pieces of hair, and they kind of wave back and forth as the sound wave comes across them. But what happens with noise damage is they get real brittle, and sometimes they completely break off, which would mean they don't send the signal at all, but sometimes they get kind of halfway broken on the way down, so they would look kind of like a fringed piece of hair. And so now the signal they're sending is constant, but not the correct signal. So the brain is getting this constant signal of the ear, just and it's just the damage in the ear that you're hearing. So by wearing hearing aids, oftentimes, especially over time, over 2-3 months, sometimes we see it go away completely. You know, once the brain is getting more of a normal signal, the brain is starving for sound if you have hearing loss, and so that's why it's, this noise is so bothersome. If you don't have hearing loss, definitely go get tested. If you don't have hearing loss, or in a few cases, hearing aids don't help the tinnitus, then there are some tinnitus or some retraining programs you can do where you're listening to nature sounds, you're listening to music, different things like that to try to get the brain to focus elsewhere. Right now, there's no medical cure that we know of. Taking a little bit of extra folic acid and vitamin B12 will help.
Yes.
B12.
Yes, okay.
But not in a lot of cases. So definitely I would first address this from the hearing loss perspective, because if you have hearing loss, one, you're not hearing as much as you think you are. There's going to be things that you're going to be surprised. And it's a really easy solution.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's
You're welcome.
To line number one for someone else. This is Effingham. Hello.
Yes, very interesting, David, and thanks for taking my call. The hearing noise tinnitus. When I was 26 years old, it began with tinnitus and then began to advance. And then I knew that something was going on. And I went to a doctor, and they told me that I had hereditary otosclerosis.
Mm.
And then it proceeded from there, and I, you know, like every young person, you put it aside, well, it'll get better.
Mm, okay.
Unfortunately, otosclerosis, you know, goes the other way.
Correct.
And but the thing I learned, and my question is, if it was, I was told that I had inherited it. Is that true?
Otosclerosis most often is genetic, so that they did give you correct information.
Yeah, good. Well,
now, did they recommend surgery?
Yes, they did. And
have you had it?
Yes, 3 times.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Well, I mean, it was one of those things, and I was a professional truck driver, and I needed for my qualifier or to be certified, you had to have so much hearing in a better ear without a hearing aid.
Mm.
And then things got dicey, and then I had the and already had the work done, but then it had declined, and then they changed the law, and you could have 80% of in the better ear with or without a hearing aid. So
okay.
That then upped it for professional driving, and then I went right back on the road. But the thing is that the hereditary, I just did some research on my own, then went back in the family, and it was my grandmother on my mother's side who had it. Then it skipped all my siblings and hit me.
And hit you.
Yes, and the femmes, if this right, is it usually the femmes have the hearing loss, and males it's more rare.
Right, and almost always this genetic strain follows the female line.
Yes, well.
So that would be right along the lines you're saying, where it was your grandma had it.
Yes, well, it was unusual that I had it, because being a male.
It is more unusual.
Yes, and then they, it only then transitioned to one of my nieces, a sister, and she's the only one I know of in the whole family, the niece and myself, who you know, had it happen. But,
right.
But I just wanted to confirm those things that I, you know, I just picture I was.
You are right on track. And just
okay.
keep up with it.
Oh,
one
yeah.
ear, I'm glad you have one ear good hearing, but, you know, there's just so much to hear all around us that, you know, just keep up the fight and keep hearing.
I continue to do that, and whenever I understood what was going to happen, my right ear then began to decline, and had the stapendectomy on that side, and then it failed, than on
the
original.
So now are you wearing hearing aids now?
Oh, yes. I've been wearing hearing aids since I were in my mid-30s.
Okay.
And those things have been successful, and I appreciate the hearing aid to no end, which
right.
I would be deaf by now.
Absolutely. And, you know, by wearing hearing aids all these years, you've benefited yourself tremendously in your cognitive processing because had you not been wearing hearing aids, even when that hearing was fluctuating, going up and down, the signals that the brain misses can actually lead to cognitive confusion and worse hearing long-term. So by wearing hearing aids all these years, you have just really given yourself a huge gift of being able to hear as well as you can.
Well,
so congratulations. And
I just got a new one about 6 months ago, and I'm the fellow I see here in Effingham and have seen for a very long time.
Great.
That he has taken care, and things you don't know are what hurt you.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad you've gotten help, and just keep it up.
Yeah, well, I will. Thank you.
Well, and I guess the thing again to say after hearing a story like this is that if there was someone who thinks that they have a problem, that they should be evaluated and find out what help might be available rather than just put it off, because the condition can worsen, or you can have other sorts of problems associated with that condition, and you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
Well, let's talk. Well, first of all, just again, it's a basic question: is it expected? Should one expect that over the course of your life, as you get older, there will be some decline in your hearing?
Not necessarily. Although we do contribute it to aging. We have done a lot of tests on people like in countries without our technology, and they have very little hearing loss. So much of our hearing loss is due to the loud world that we live in. We have so much auditory input. So, of course, the longer you live, the more chance you have of any of these things that cause hearing loss happening to you. But I certainly still test people. I tested someone about 2 weeks ago in her 90s that had very normal hearing. So it doesn't have to be a part of aging.
Well, then let's talk about noise and what to do about that. And I suppose there are really two kind of broad categories here. There are things that may be related to occupation, where perhaps that's something that's not completely under your control. And then,
first caller.
Right. And then there's recreational exposure to noise. Let's save that, though. So what sort of things should people think about in terms of the place that they work and how much noise might be in that environment? And particularly, how should you be sensitive to that? Because as you explained, you know, if you're in a noisy place, eventually you'll kind of get used to it, and maybe you won't be thinking about it.
Exactly. So the really big telltale is it too loud, would be if you're having to raise your voice to be heard. So if you're with another person, there's some machines, maybe at a factory going on in the background, and if you're having to really raise your voice over that, given a length of time, that can do damage. And oftentimes the damage won't be immediate. You may notice, like if you've ever gone to a concert and you leave, you have kind of a deadening feel in your ears, and a couple days later you're fine. That damage shows up permanently 10, 12, 20 years later. So that's not always, just because it recovers in a couple days doesn't mean that you're out of the woods. It just means that's going to show up later on. But in a work environment, and that can be a really tricky one, OSHA has a lot of stipulations on that, how loud they can be for how much time. Certain sounds, like over 90 decibels, you can be in for 8 minutes. Over 100 decibels, you can only be in it for 2 minutes. So all of those are set up with the OSHA guidelines. But the things that you can do about sound, what I teach is that, one, if you can, turn it down. If you can't turn it down, wear earplugs. And if you don't have earplugs and you can't turn it down, then leave the environment, if at all possible.
Nowadays, there are an awful lot of people who are going around, and I'm one of them, listening to some kind of personal device.
Uh-oh.
With earbuds, or
right.
I suppose there are some people who wear headphones, but they're listening to music that mm-hmm. way. And speaking for myself, I guess I try to keep it at a reasonable volume, but I do wonder about whether that, in fact, is a problem or not.
It can be a problem, again, with the long-term nature of it. I'm a big proponent of the 60-60 rule, which is you should never have any listening device that's ear level at more than 60% of the available volume for no more than 60 minutes a day. So even most of us with our cell phones are going over that. So we just really want to be careful with that. They are being more regulated than they have in the past, but those volume controls can just pump in way too much noise into that tiny canal. You know, if you're in a room and there's something loud, there's a lot of space, a lot of molecules that it's dissipating through. But when you're directing it directly into your ear canal, all of that sound pressure is going directly into this very fragile ear mechanism that we use. So we do need to be really careful about those ear-level devices.
Mm-hmm. So you certainly don't want to go over half. Look at how loud it can get. Look at where the halfway point is and make sure that you're at least that you're under the halfway point.
Yes, that would be much safer. I was on an airplane yesterday, and the gentleman sitting next to me had an iPod, and he had the little buds in his ears, and I could hear the music coming out of it. You know, such is way too loud.
Yeah, I've had that experience too, and I sort of think to myself, wouldn't that be uncomfortable for you as the listener? I think it would start to give me a headache, much less, you know, sitting next to somebody that you can actually hear what's coming out of their earbuds with them stuck in their ears.
Yeah, and it's just, again, you acclimate to it, especially I think in the airplane because the plane was relatively loud. He was having to put that music above the level of the plane in order to hear it the way he wanted to. So what I would recommend in those types of situations is if you really want to listen to music when you're, you know, around other noise, get a good pair of noise-canceling headphones. It's going to be a nice little investment, but it's going to – noise-canceling headphones now are a smaller investment than hearing aids are going to be later. And those noise-canceling headphones, what that will do is that means now you can listen at the music at the volume that's a healthy level rather than having to overpower all that sound around you.
Oh, well, that's a good reason to think about that. I think what is unfortunate is I think the best ones are really expensive, but
they are,
as you say, maybe that's it's an investment in your long-term hearing, so maybe that's something one might want to think about.
Right. I mean, you can think about it. The noise-canceling headphones, even the very good ones, you can have ones actually custom molded for your ear if you don't want to wear the big earphones. And we're talking under $1,000. And you're going to have them for years. The cost of hearing aids is significantly more than that. So, you know, it's just in order to keep, and hearing aids, as wonderful as they are, we're still not able to give you back your original hearing. So there's so many reasons to protect and maintain the hearing you have. Once that diminishes, of course, we want to help it every way we can. But let's take care of our ears. Our hearing is so very important to our quality of life.
We are talking this morning in this hour with Melissa Rodriguez. She has a business that's in El Paso, Texas, where she dispenses hearing aids. It's called the Hear on Earth Hearing Center. And she's also the author of a little book that answers a lot of basic questions that could be very helpful to you. The title of her book is Hear Your Life. And we'll talk some more with her in just a moment. This is Focus.
WILL programming is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713.
This is Focus. It's our morning talk program. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We are here Monday through Friday, 10 to noon, 10 different topics for you throughout the week. In the next hour, we'll be having our regular monthly show on dog care and behavior, and dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm will be here. On the program Monday, the guest is Lindsay Hilsum. She's a journalist who works for Channel 4 in Britain. She's their international news editor. We'll talk about a book that she's written about the recent Libyan revolution, the one that swept Muammar Gaddafi from power. She's written a book on this. The title of her book is Sandstorm. And then also Monday in the 11 o'clock hour, we have another health topic for you. We'll be talking about migraine headaches, what causes them and how they can be treated. And our guest will be Dr. Robert Cranston. He is a neurologist as part of the Carl Physician Group in Urbana. You can check our schedule, find out what we'll do in the days ahead by going to our website, which is willwill.illinois.edu. You can also follow us on Twitter, Will Public Media. We're also on Facebook. In this hour of focus, we are talking with Melissa Rodriguez. Shortly after high school, she got her license to fit hearing aids and has been doing that now for quite a long time. She's certified, has nationally board certified, and has been since 1995. She has business in El Paso, Texas. It's Hear on Earth Hearing Care Center, and she is the author of the book Hear Your Life. And it is has some people talking about their experiences with hearing loss and how they've been helped, and also answer some of the basic questions that you might have. So if you're concerned about your hearing, or maybe there's somebody in your family you're concerned about their hearing, this would be a book that you could look at and get some basic information. And it is published by the Greenleaf Book Group. And questions are welcome. And we've got some other folks here lined up and ready to go. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We also have email if you'd like to send your question that way. And it's will-talk@illinois.edu. So we will go back to the phones here. And I think our next caller is in Aurora, line four. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to sound a little slow, but this is not why I originally called, but you were talking about that 60-60. I think I was only half listening. 60%, is that like 60% of what?
60% of the available volume of your device. So there's probably something visual there, and if it's like a little bar, a lot of them are a little bar, don't go beyond half.
Okay.
You know, a little bit over half, so 60% of the available volume for 60 minutes.
Okay. It's been a while since I've had a hearing test, but I've been complaining about my hearing for years.
Okay.
When I was in for a hearing test, the doctor said, well, people would kill for your hearing. But we don't live in an environment where you're in a sound, dead little room there and talking, and I like to refer to it as Morse code, you know, when the little beeps, you know. And,
right.
And that's just not how real life works.
Well, that's true, and a lot of times in hearing tests, you will also be given some speech tests and some speech and noise. The reason we like to keep the environment very quiet is we're actually testing to see at what level your brain can hear the least amount of sound, and then by that we know how you're hearing in normal environments. So we're doing just some specific clinical tests that give us information to know how you're reacting in the real world.
I guess I understand that, but because I do have problems sometimes with there's certain letters, I can't even tell you which ones now, but you'll hear a different letter than what actually someone is speaking.
Sure. There's a little story in the book about a lady who took a phone call for her husband, and they said, well, can you give him the message? And she thought he said that his pair of shoes are ready. I'm sorry, that his parachute was ready. And she was like, why does my husband have a parachute? Well, then she realized they had said pair of shoes. So I understand what you're talking about there.
You mentioned your book. Where is your book available at? How would you get your book?
You can get that really from any bookseller. You can go on Amazon or go to your Barnes & Noble or whatever bookstore is there in your area, and they should be able to order it for you.
Okay. Now, I missed, I had received a phone call in between there, but you had one of your callers was talking about tinnitus, the ringing in the ears.
That's a ringing in the ears that almost always is accompanied by hearing loss, and so it's the first thing you really should have tested is the hearing, so we know if that's playing a role in that tinnitus.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And I'll tell you, have that hearing tested, and, you know, if you're not getting specific answers, get a second opinion. There's so many practitioners out there that do an amazing job. For a lot of years, a mild high-frequency hearing loss was sort of underrated as what problems it gives you in society. We understand now that it's a lot more devastating than we had thought a couple decades ago. So it may be that you have some normal hearing throughout, and then the high frequencies you're having issues. That would be why, say, a T might sound like the letter D, or P. It's what we call our fricative sounds. So, you know, get a really good, thorough exam and get some advice going forward on that.
Can I ask one more thing?
Sure.
I have a decibel meter laying here on my desk.
Ooh.
And I have found it seems when I'm speaking that I don't hear as well as if I have a radio or TV on. You know, does that make sense to you? It seems like I'm talking louder than I really should.
Right. But what decibel do you, when you have that radio or TV on, it's helping you hear better, it seems?
Have you measured that decibel? I just was meaning that I can have the TV on or something or radio on, and it'll be reading like 55 decibels, and I can hear it just fine.
Sure.
But yeah, I've noticed that if I have this decibel meter on while I'm speaking, that I was speaking in the 70s, and it does not sound loud to me.
You're a loud talker. Average speech is between 45 and 65, so you are a little on the loud side.
Right, which of course can offend some people.
Well, and it can signal hearing loss.
Okay.
Because you don't hear yourself at that level, but everyone else will. So, yeah, get it tested.
Okay. Thanks.
And then can always, if you have questions, you can go to my website or my Facebook page, Hear with Melissa, and ask questions, and I'll be more than happy to keep in touch with you and make sure we get you treatment if needed.
All right. So it is the case, or it may be the case, that someone who speaks very loudly, or at least, you know, it's your perception that they're speaking more loudly than they need to, that could be a sign that that person has some hearing problems.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We have other callers. We just get back to them, and next we'll talk with someone in Lafayette, and this is line one. Hello.
Hello. Does your definition of tinnitus include a sense of roaring rather than ringing?
Yeah, tinnitus is a really difficult defined issue. Typically, it's more the ringing. The roaring often will signify more of a low-frequency hearing loss. So it may be linked with the tinnitus or it may not be. We would have to do some testing to really know. There may be some middle ear disorders causing that roaring.
Really confuse loss of hearing with an entire sense of speed up and added confusion to one's life. I don't know how you separate those.
So sometimes when people are talking, the difficulty for you is that it seems they're talking too fast?
Is that
what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens as we lose our hearing, our ability to hear distinctly, is that it takes the brain longer to put together the signals it gets to try to tell you what you hear. So you are hearing slower than someone with normal hearing. Or when you had normal, healthy hearing, you were able to hear faster. So again, if you feel like everybody's just getting ahead of you, good time to get that hearing tested.
I think we hesitate to do this, to get tested, because at least indirectly it's perhaps an admission of aging, and also a fear of an expensive mistake in choosing devices or practitioners.
Sure.
My father went into four figures, chasing first a hearing aid by a practitioner who was considered good, effective, and it cost him over $1,000, maybe a couple of thousand, by the time he'd had a couple of adaptations done, and it still wasn't satisfactory. In the end, he just abandoned it.
Oh, no. Well, the really good news is our technology is getting better and better every year. Our training of how to use the technology. I've been in the business fitting hearing aids for 20 years, and I can tell you from 20 years until now, it's a completely different world hearing aids are. They're so helpful. Most states have a 30-day refund period so that if you're not helped, your practitioner should be running tests not just before you get the hearing aid, but once you're fit with the hearing aid, in that first month at some point, they should run more tests to confirm that you're hearing what you should be hearing. So those are all things. I have some tips in the book of how to know, you know, how to find that right person that you can trust, because that fear of an expensive mistake, I think you said that beautifully. A lot of people have that. But that fear is keeping so many people from living their life fully, and you're missing out, and it's affecting your relationships and your social life, and your overall cognitive health. So, you know, really try to get past those fears, but just find someone that will care for you. This relationship you develop with your hearing care practitioner should be a pretty much a lifelong relationship. So you want to find somebody that you're comfortable, that, you know, it's a convenient location, you're very comfortable with their personality, and that you can tell that they care for you. You don't want to just simply go and try to buy a hearing aid. You need to develop that relationship.
Does your book cover how to choose a reputable and effective practitioner?
It does. It gives you some hints for that, absolutely.
Okay.
There's a section, there's a lot of stories in the book that just kind of go through people's lives and their experiences with not hearing and with hearing. And then in the back, there's a resource guide. So there's a frequently asked question section. And so I think you'll find that really useful.
Okay. All right. Have David repeat again the name of the book.
I will. I will be sure to do that, and thank you very much. And I just, Melissa, the caller made a point, and I guess this is something that I was thinking about as earlier we were talking about why it is that people don't seek treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine there are people who don't, you know, they don't have health insurance, they can't afford to have their hearing tested, and then they really couldn't afford to have a very expensive device. And there are people who are saying, look, this might be nice, but I just can't do it.
Well, the big thing on that, David, is you don't know until you at least get it evaluated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be like saying, oh, I'm not going to go, you know, look for food because it might make me sick. But you need food to survive and have a good life. So hearing is so vitally important. And when you find a caregiver who truly cares, most of us have access to foundations, state programs. So if it's truly not affordable, we should have access to other avenues in order to help you get that help. So you shouldn't just avoid even finding out what's needed by that fear.
Okay.
You know, just go. Most of us in this industry, we're just here to help. Hearing is our number one concern and our goal. And we're going to get there by any means we have to make sure that we can get our patients hearing well.
We have about 7-8 minutes left in this part of the program. I have some other callers we'll get to. I also would like to introduce again our guest. Melissa Rodriguez is her name. She's the owner of Hear on Earth Hearing Care Center. That's in El Paso, Texas. And she is also the author of the book Hear Your Life. And it is a paperback. It is published by Greenleaf Book Group Press and does indeed have some stories of people that she's worked with and also some basic kind of tips, some basic questions and answers about hearing loss. And it could be very helpful for you or for somebody who's important to you, so you might want to take a look at it. And questions here are welcome. We'll get as many as we can, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Next, we have someone in Urbana, line 2. Hello.
Yes, thank you for the program. I've recently been diagnosed with what the practitioner called hyperacusis, I believe.
Okay.
And couldn't really get any kind of satisfactory, at least insurance-covered treatment. Let me explain and see if you have any kind of ideas or suggestions.
Sure.
Normally, my hearing is fine, no ringing, no tinnitus. I've got good tolerance, you know, to grandkids running around the house screaming or whatever. But the kind of a pushing, like a strike of a hammer on metal, or actually, unfortunately, cardinals outside the window in kind of like a chirp, chirp,
mm-hmm.
chirp mood. Literally, it feels as if my eardrum vibrates. I mean, it's like a physical thing on the eardrum.
Mm.
And the, which is really terrible because I love to be outside and I love the spring, but I literally
right.
close windows and turn on fans because the cardinals wake me up in the morning and it's a physically uncomfortable thing happening right you
did
know, at
something,
the
did
membrane.
Something, did something happen to trigger this? Like was
no,
there
no,
a head injury or anything?
Not that I know of. I mean, I've been around, you know, cars and loud music like, you know, most 50-year-olds have
mm-hmm.
or some 50-year-olds have. But, you know, I don't think I've ever abused my hearing, and I try to use the little insert kind of things or ear protection if I'm going to be using, you know, like a powerful tool. And it's only in a very discreet frequency. And so I got a typical, you know, hearing profile. And the thing that the local audiologist here could recommend was some kind of like conditioning treatment. You know, some company was going to sell me some machine that, you know, was going to cost $1,200 to $1,400. And the other thing she recommended is that I download some, like, these sleep tone things mm-hmm. on the cell phone and use. But I don't know. At this point in time, I've just sort of in a put up with it until technology gets a little bit better, or we reach a better understanding exactly what's happening to my ears. But I mean, I've got good health care and I've always used it, so
right.
I've been chasing this for some number of years, and so I heard the topic and thought I would just ask a question. So
yeah, it's a great question, and your audiologist gave you really good advice. Some of the retraining programs are about the best we have to offer on this issue right now. You can do it simply. There's like some nature sounds tapes. Now, stay away from the birds, like the ocean. Some of the other sounds are going to be okay for you. A rainstorm would be okay. And just be listening to those. Some people find, like if they're in their house, turning on their shower can be kind of soothing when it gets to a really aggravated point.
Mm-hmm.
So just stick with it. I think you're doing what you can, and she gave you the correct advice on that. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I wish we had better news for you on that condition.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Let's see. We'll go to next someone in Mattoon, line number 3. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I just tuned in, so I hope I'm not repeating anything you've already said. First of all, I'd like to know, are all the new hearing aids approximately equal? When you put $5,000 into a set, are they all pretty much the same nowadays?
What a great question. I'm going to say yes and no. Let me explain. All hearing aids, especially the higher end, the expensive ones that you're talking about, all have wonderful technology compared to 5 years ago. I think what matters even more than the hearing aid you buy is the hearing aid provider that you're getting it from. You want somebody who has time to spend to understand your lifestyle requirements. The hearing test we run only gives us a picture of the physical component of your hearing loss. It doesn't give us a picture of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And our hearing from one room to another, from church to the store, in your car, at home, your TV, they're all such different environments that the hearing aids have to react accordingly to that. What hangs that up is your hearing aid specialist or provider, audiologist, has to set that hearing aid. And so they have to understand the technology and you and your hearing loss. So I think the provider you get that hearing aid from will be just as big of an indicator of if you're going to get the most out of that hearing aid
mm-hmm.
than the actual brand or model of hearing aid.
Well, you're right about that, because I'm trying the second set now, and the provider is a much better one than the first one that I
right.
had. And
yeah, it's really important to find that provider who is just looking out for you and your hearing and your hearing health care. So I think you did the right thing, and stick with it. It does take the brain a little bit of time to relearn how to hear. Even with this wonderful technology, we are still relying on the brain's ability to process.
Mm-hmm.
So give it some time. Wear it in quiet environments first, and then slowly introduce noise so that your brain can start knowing which filter to apply.
Well, I didn't do that.
Okay, well, start in quiet.
I just wore them constantly. And I went back yesterday to have them made louder, but the sounds, for instance, on television are not as good as if they were a little bit softer.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm sure your specialists, they're going to, keep being, the more you tell your specialist, the better they can help you.
Yeah.
So be very, stay in communication. Whatever you do, don't give up. Don't be like, well, I guess this is as good as it gets. If you're not hearing and just enjoying your life, they'll keep working with you.
And I have a handheld control, which for me is a good thing.
Good.
But I also want to say that I have hearing loss in my left ear somewhat, more so than the other. And when I had a person sitting next to me to my left, I have trouble hearing them, understanding them, I should say. Is that going to be the way it is all the time?
With the hearing aid in or with the hearing aid out?
No, it was in.
No, I mean, if you have a hearing aid in, it depends on the hearing loss, the severity of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole point of wearing a hearing aid, so that, you know, you can hear from your ears. So if you have a poor left ear and it's aided, you should still be able to talk to someone on your left side.
Mm-hmm.
And your specialist should be able to give you better expectations, because, of course, I haven't seen your audiogram. And they can let you know what to expect. For some people that come to us early on in the hearing process, in the hearing loss process, we can get them up to almost normal. For other people, they may wait too long, and then we only can give them, you know, 60 or 70% of their hearing.
I think that's me.
Oh, that may be.
Because I've had this for quite a few years. I'm 86 years old.
Okay.
I've had it for probably 15 years.
Ah, and this is your first try?
Yes, it is.
Well, good for you for finally doing it. I'm proud of you. Stick with it, and over time, you will begin hearing better and better, because the brain will relearn.
Mm. You know, I'm going to have to jump in here. I'm really sorry. I have to apologize to some people, because we're here at essentially at the end of the time, and we're going to have to stop. I think we probably could have spent the whole time just talking about hearing aids, and perhaps should have gotten into that a little bit earlier. I guess the bottom line thing that I think is that I come away with is that people may have this idea that a hearing aid simply is an amplification device, and it sounds as if it's actually much more than that.
So much more. Yes.
And that it's something that needs to be personally tailored to the individual and what their hearing is, and perhaps also the situations in which they're going to live and going to be hearing. You know, you have to say, well, how do you live your life, and so how do we set this up so that it works best for you?
Absolutely.
Well,
so
there,
important.
We're going to have to stop. I just want to say again, thanks to our guest, Melissa Rodriguez. Her business is in El Paso, Texas. It's Here on Earth Hearing Care Center. And she is author of the book, Hear Your Life, Inspiring Stories and Honest Advice for Overcoming Hearing Loss. And it could be very helpful for folks. You might want to take a look at it. It is a paperback. It is not terribly expensive. It's published by Greenleaf Book Group Press. You can get it wherever you get books. And Melissa Rodriguez, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, David. And for those callers that didn't get a chance, my website is www.hearwithmelissa. And then go ask me questions there, and I'll make sure I get them the answers they need.
All right, great. Thanks.
Thank you so much, David.